Yo, 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 welcome to Two Dudes and a Mic Podcast, episode 230 for you guys, but 230.5 for us, with Trevor and Max.
Hey, yo.
Thursday, we recorded the original episode 230. Unfortunately, I forgot to save the project file and left my computer on overnight, as I always do. And then I come back up in the morning and found that my computer just decided to restart on its own. And Audacity automatic recovery tool did not even work. And on top of that, there were no backup files for the recording like there usually is. So I am sorry. That is what happened. And that is why there was technically no episode last week, even though we were planning on putting one up pretty late. Maybe we'll make something up during January, but I would not count on it. So as a result, we are doing the same stories that we discussed, but different ORQ. Max is back in the States, but sadly, we are unable to meet in person. But at least there won't be as big of a time gap between us. But that's temporary. Anywho, what would you like to talk about yet again?
Well, first up for the second time, checking in back with good old Elon, seeing what's going on with the crazy meltdown going on at Twitter. Maybe things have happened even more in the last couple of days that I don't know about, but I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about this. Well, one of the big things that happened last Sunday was Dave Chappelle was doing a stand-up special in San Francisco. He had a stand-up show. Chappelle had a stand-up show in San Francisco. And at the end of the show, he brought on Elon Musk. He brought him on stage. And the response to this was frankly hilarious. People booed him. Like, a lot of people booed him very, very loudly for about 10 straight minutes while Elon was just standing there trying to, like, laugh it off and trying to act cool. And Chappelle was trying to do damage control with the crowd, trying to manage them. His crowd control involved sort of talking up Elon Musk and joking about how people in the nosebleed seats are poor, basically, like the something like the only people that are booing are the people who paid for the cheap seats. And even then, the cheap seats of that show were apparently like $300, which is kind of insane. So it ain't that cheap. And if people paid $300 to be there, I think it's completely fair that they boo the shit that they're not a fan of. Well, Elon tried to spin it to say that about 10% of the audience was booing and 90% of them were actually cheering him. Everyone who was at the show reports that it was more like 90% boos, 10% cheers. Elon made another tweet at some point saying, like, this was the first time he'd been greeted with that kind of reaction in his life or something like that. It's just an incredible moment of this clear pathological narcissist getting met with a reality that does not align with his own and the sort of spinning out of control trying to deal with that. I wonder how he's been. I mean, he hasn't been doing great in a lot of ways recently, but I wonder what that's done to him. I wanted to bring that up just because sort of I think it's funny, and also dealing with Dave Chappelle, it's, you know, we're fans of him, and I'm fans of him. I even liked most of his last couple specials. He's there's topics in conversations around his transphobia, things like that, which I think is more of a gray area than just he hates trans people. I think he's old-fashioned. I think he's old guard, and I think that he doesn't take his jokes seriously like a lot of people seem to, because he makes jokes at the expense of a ton of different groups, not just trans people. But of course, this is the one that's been getting a lot of attention in the news recently from a lot of comics. Him and Ricky Gervais, a lot of comics have spun their whole, not their whole, but have spun a lot of their material into dealing with Twitter and cancel culture and all this stuff. And I haven't been the biggest fan of that because it's making it sort of about them and about how persecuted they are. And like, that's not great material most of the time. It's just kind of self-aggrandizing, not self-aggrandizing, but it's indulgent. And when there are criticisms that are, you know, it gives the criticisms more power and less nuance to actually have a conversation about it, to just laugh it off and dismiss it. So anyway, I have problems with that. Dave Chappelle is very, very rich, and he's been in this bubble, and his sort of reaction to all the cancel culture stuff, instead of sort of dealing with it like he may have done in the old days, dealing with it with more straight up rejection and yeah, less nuance, and you know. I think he's been falling out of touch a bit lately, and this really, really shows that I think he is out of fucking touch. Defending Elon, basically shilling for Elon Musk on stage, bringing him out at the end of a comedy show. Why? He's just a rich guy. He probably paid for some super, you know, fancy backstage pass tickets, VIP tickets, all that crap. But why bring him out? He's not a comic. That's not good show. That's not a good comedy show. It doesn't make sense. Why bring him out? Why defend this? Why stick up for him instead of, you know, turning it around and being like, I guess they don't like you that much, Elon. Instead of turning it around to, the cheap seats are booing. Like, it's weird and it's out of touch and it's disappointing. It's disappointing for me to see. Anything about that before I move on to the rest of the Twitter stuff?
Well, I think it sounds like that was said out of desperation. I don't think Chappelle genuinely thought that was a good comeback. Especially no, considering the fact that this is a comedy show in San Francisco. And if it's true that the cheapest seats were $300, I mean, that's disappointing to hear. I would never pay that much for a concert or to see a comedian. Remember, I believe he made a joke, granted this was back in like 2017, about how his tickets were like less than $100 and Kevin Hart's was a lot more expensive. So, but you know, I guess things can change, I suppose. Inflation's getting bad. Good thing that gas prices are coming down. Thank fuck. About time for that. But I doubt that anybody, you know, in San Francisco going to a comedy show, let alone Chappelle's comedy show, is poor. But again, I think that was just a, oh shit, what do I say to contain the situation type of deal. I also don't know what Musk was expecting. I don't know. I'm curious. This is something I didn't even say last time. I'm curious if whether Elon was the one who wanted to come out, or if Dave just straight up brought him out sort of a little bit out of nowhere. I mean, obviously, there must have been some mutual agreement, maybe.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it was 50-50, or if somebody was leaning one way or another, because I don't know what Musk was expecting. Like, why is he doing this? Why is he hosting SNL? I don't know.
I feel like it's his money. I feel like he's doing it. Like, what? Again, like, why bring him out on stage? Aside from he is the richest guy in the world, sure, but why? Why do that? He's not an entertainer.
I don't even remember Bill Gates fucking trying to bask in the spotlight every fucking chance he got. But yeah, this would be like, also, like bringing Elon Musk out in San Francisco is just fucking hilarious. That would be like a fucking high school theater reunion at our school, and Max and I were brought out on stage after the fact that many of those people have probably listened to the Christmas special. No, scratch that. That would be like if we played the Christmas special in front of those people, in which we pretty much bashed at least half of the department, and then we just came out expecting like a row of applause from everybody. Like, what were they thinking? I don't understand.
I know. It's such a... yeah. I don't know. It shows... to me, it shows Elon's fantasy world that he's living in, where he's surrounded by yes men, and it shows that Dave Chappelle is just fallen out of touch with what, you know, what the real shit is. And that's disappointing.
Well, it could have just been a one-off mistake, to be fair. And the good thing is that... in the comedy podcasting sphere, if you want to call it that, it seems that they've stopped finally bitching about cancel culture for like the thousandth time, which I agree, like, their complaints are valid. I'm not dismissing them. I'm just saying talking about them over and over again is just, especially the big ones, like the ones that would be very hard to cancel. As if their livelihoods are at stake or anything. Like, I can get it if it's like an up-and-coming comedian. I think that's like a valid concern to have. But these guys are like, the ones talking about are like at the top.
Yeah. Gervais and Chappelle in their specials being like, they're trying to cancel me. They're coming after me. It's like, Dave keeps getting Netflix specials over and over again. He's one of the highest paid comics in the world. It's not cancel culture for them. It's people complaining on Twitter. Like, that's not worth making a stand-up special about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, now comedy podcasts have just gone back to comedians jerking each other off on their podcasts. If anybody wants, like, a funny podcast, check out Lemon Party. None of those guys are comedians. It's three guys. It's Ben Avery, who's one of the hosts. He used to produce Tim Dillon's show. That shit is pretty good. I was hoping I could listen to Tiger Belly. Once I heard Bobby Lee and Kalila broke up, I'm like, oh yes, I can listen to Tiger Belly again. But no, she's still fucking co-hosting it, so I can't listen to that shit. If nobody believes me or thinks I'm just being a dick, just look at the fucking stats for Bad Friends and seeing how much better that's doing. But anyway, enough of that.
My flatmate sometimes watches the Andrew Schultz podcast, and that's quite fun.
Oh, God. Is it Flagrant or the one he does with Charlemagne?
The one he does with Charlemagne.
Oh, okay, that's better. His other one is just... exactly how it's described. It's four dudes on a couch jerking each other off.
For sure.
It used to be better, from what I've heard. It used to be just him and Akash, which he's not that great either. But now it's like became an overproduced mess. Their set is weird. What is it with podcast studios switching to like this whole like couch setup? Is it trying to like create this like me and the boys feel? Or I don't know.
It's like Spotify has got its video podcast feature, and they put them up on YouTube and stuff. So I guess it's to make it more of like a show, almost like a talk late night show or a panel show or something on TV, but just without any, you know, real main direction. It's strange.
Odd.
Yeah. Also, one more thing with the Chappelle Musk thing. Elon Musk, he's not a self-made businessman. His father is an incredibly rich South African businessman who owned emerald mines. Emerald mines in Africa, which would, in South Africa, that's exploitative as shit. Exploitative of the population. Again, another thing that I don't understand why Chappelle is on board with this. Chappelle is, you know, he's famously about black empowerment. he went to Africa after the Chappelle show stopped. Like, I don't know. It's just strange. The money blinds everything. Money blinds everything, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, I think Elon's beloved for other reasons. I'm not sure that many people look at him as someone who, you know, pulled himself up by the bootstraps.
A weird amount of people do. I've seen a weird amount of people on the internet thinking that, like, he's some genius self-made businessman. He started out with his dad's money, and he has not... Most of his companies, aside from maybe SpaceX, like the Boring Company, things like PayPal, things like Tesla, he did not found those companies. He bought into them early on. His talent is finding and hiring good, smart people to build the business up, to actually work on the infrastructure of the product. He himself is like, he's not the Tony Stark that people think he is. A lot of people still think he is that. He's not an engineer. He may know a bit about engineering and a bit about like computer software and stuff, but he's not some brilliant genius who's also a brilliant businessman. He's a pretty smart businessman. Anyway, talking about his business, Twitter has gone, you know, it's just going on fire amazingly. Apparently they've stopped paying rent on their offices and they're trying to cut costs at every turn. It's not paying rent in their offices is bizarre and kind of hilarious. Also, the whole looks like free speech is back on Twitter thing. Yeah, that's still a lie. Because various people, various journalist accounts, the account of Mastodon, a Twitter alternative, they're all suspended or banned. It keeps happening. People who make jokes about Elon Musk, people who make jokes about this Twitter situation, high-profile journalists who cover the platform and Musk, on Thursday evening, they were suddenly suspended. Hours after these suspensions took hold, Musk faced off with one of the journalists he'd suspended in a Twitter Space audio discussion before an audience of more than 30,000 listeners. Journalists, along with several others, found a backdoor way onto the platform through the website's audio function. Musk said, "You dox, you get suspended, end of story, that's it," explaining his latest policy to the group before he left minutes after joining the discussion. This is about the accounts that track his private jet. Specifically, one college kid made an account that tracks the information of his private jet and posts it on the Twitter account for everyone to see. Elon Musk wanted him to take it down. The kid said, "Yeah." Elon Musk offered this kid $5,000 to take it down, and the kid said, "No, I'll take it down for like $50,000 or a Tesla." And Elon Musk did not pay that, which is literally like pennies for someone with his amount of money. So, you know, interesting little ego thing going on. Anyway, recently Musk made a tweet saying our mission for free speech, da da da, something like our mission for free speech is all encompassing. It's even when dealing with the accounts like the one that tracks my private jet. When he made that tweet, at the time of tweeting that account was actually suspended, so it wasn't up. So he was barefaced lying in that. Then there was an incident last week where I can't remember if it was San Francisco or LA, someone apparently, allegedly, followed a car that allegedly they thought Elon Musk was in, followed this car around, and then jumped on the hood. Turns out Elon's kid with the weird name that no one can pronounce, that apparently he's nicknamed Lil X. When I first saw the tweet that he was talking about, I thought he was talking about Lil Nas X, which was really confusing for a sec, but no, his kid is nicknamed Lil X, apparently, because how the fuck else are you supposed to say that name? Apparently someone attacked this car, or jumped on the hood of this car with this kid in it. That's fucked up. Don't go after the guy's kid. You know, even I'm gonna say attacking him right out front, don't do that. That's a dumb thing. That's a dangerous thing. That's not cool. But then he used that incident as reasoning to suspend, further suspend accounts that posted public the information about his jets and stuff. He was calling it doxing because apparently his private jet had landed in whatever that city was. I don't even know if it had, actually. Basically, he's talking about doxing his private jet, this account that's quote-unquote doxing his private jet, which it is not, because it is just retweeting. It is just putting it out there, already public information that anyone can already find. Flight information is some of the most publicly available information there is. It has to be, because otherwise there would be plane crashes all the fucking time. If he made some tweet about the privacy of his plane's information or something, and if that was true, and if the plane is actually holding that information private, then that is violating a ton of air safety regulations. So that's not great. So that's just this whole cycle that he was talking about with this, saying you dox, you get suspended, and suspending a bunch of journalists. Yeah, the Twitter rival Mastodon. It's going scorched earth. It's mayhem. It's absolute mayhem. Anyone who thinks that he is actually supporting free speech is, the idea is observably laughable at this point.
Yeah. When Musk first bought Twitter, all I said was, let's see what happens. Maybe he'll follow through, maybe he won't. Maybe. But, be honest, even though I wasn't leaning either way, I'm not shocked that this has happened. Because I think moderating this stuff is more tricky, and drawing those lines is more tricky than many people think. I still think that free speech should be near absolutist for these platforms, with obvious exceptions, but I was pretty, I don't know. It's whatever.
Yeah,
it's wrong, but like, if this gets people off Twitter, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
If it opens up for alternative platforms, that's ultimately a good thing.
Absolutely. Some things going on, like, he's doing damage control in ways to keep people on Twitter, because obviously he needs it, you know, like unsuspending Trump's account. Trump has still got his thing going on with Truth Social and has not returned to Twitter yet, even though Elon is basically begging him to come back at this point because he needs that sweet engagement. Elon made a Twitter poll the other day saying, when should I unsuspend the accounts that have been doxing his location or something like that? And there were like four options, something like, I can't remember what they were, in 7 days, and now, a bunch of other. Now, one. That was the option that won. He then said, there were too many options, I'm doing this poll again, and did a second poll, and now won again. So reality just keeps spitting in his face, and he keeps doing his damnedest to keep this fire under control, which is entertaining. I do hope that he keeps making more and more ridiculous decisions, because that means people flood away from Twitter even faster, which is glorious. If this really does the site in, it will be a joyous saga.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Elon just wasn't smart about it. The other platforms were, because one, they started with people that everyone or a lot of people thought was semi-reasonable to get banned, and then they slowly inched towards other groups. And by the time that happens, the media wasn't really covering it anymore. Elon should have censored these people, like, 8 months minimum after fucking buying Twitter.
Yeah, should have done it slowly and quietly.
Yeah. Start with obvious targets first to make people think you're reasonable, then go for free game afterwards. Gosh, pace it out. But like, no, this fucking doofus did it right. Anyway. Yeah. the lessons in censorship.
Yeah. That's basically all I got.
All right. We'll talk a bit about Victor Boot and Brittany Griner.
Right.
Victor Boot was a notorious arms dealer. He was very successful, and he was in prison for, I think, at least 8 years, and he got caught. I believe he was detained in Thailand, and then he was somehow expedited to the U.S. instead of Russia. And Russia's argument was, well, that's like unlawful jurisdiction. Why is he going to the U.S.? Why is he not being held in Russia? And that was one of the reasons why he wanted to trade WNBA star Brittany Griner for him, because that was just the argument they brought up again. They were thinking of getting Paul Whelan out, who is an ex-Marine. He was discharged dishonorably for larceny stuff, I believe. And Russia, I believe on some talk show, they were saying that he was sending pictures of somebody or of a church to somebody on WhatsApp. And that was their apparently evidence for holding him for espionage, because that's what he's being held for in a penal colony, is that he's being accused of espionage. So that's, and a lot of people, they did try to get both of them back, but Russia apparently wanted some dude that was being held in Germany. And that was, you know, kind of confusing to hear. Maybe they were just expecting the U.S. to reach out to Germany. They would probably tell them to get fucked anyway. But that's what they wanted, if they wanted, if the U.S. were to get both of them out. And they couldn't or wouldn't do that. And Griner had the most high-profile case. And so that is probably what led to the switch between Boots and Griner, and now with this ex-Marine. There is also a school teacher who fucking made a similar mistake to Griner, because Griner brought in like a vape oil pen with marijuana, whatever. And I love how in the comments people are just like, she brought in drugs to another country. As if, like, it was crack or whatever, but it was just weed. But they try and make it sound heavy or whatever. But anyways, yeah, the school teacher, I think in, like, 2018, he fucked up. He brought medical marijuana that was prescribed to him in the U.S. and brought it to Russia, thinking that was okay. And that was when he was detained and being held. So really dumb mistake. You could argue that Griner made a dumb mistake as well, which I would agree, but it's slightly more forgiving, because when you think of somebody who's traveling a lot and a pen that's, you know, a relatively small object, it's pretty easy to leave that shit in a luggage or a suitcase. Mm. And, you know, shit like that happens quite often. You'd be surprised. I saw a video a couple months back of a dude who walked into an airport accidentally with a concealed carry weapon that he didn't have a permit for. So again, this shit is not the most uncommon, but still, dumb mistake. Ended up almost paying for it. I think the reason why she was chosen was because there was a lot more media coverage for it. To be honest, if I had to pick one person that should have been traded, it should have been the school teacher, simply on the merits that he was there the longest, and God knows what's happening to his fucking back. I don't know if he's getting treatment for that, but yeah, I think this was an L. I do think it was still technically the right thing to do, but it's still an L. And I also think Russia deep down knows that's like comical and embarrassing, that of all three Americans we could have traded for, we chose a WNBA or just a basketball player. And yeah, go ahead, insert your metaphors of like worst sports trade in history. I'm not going to do that. So fucking original, you guys. Every video is like trying to be clever that I've watched about it. They're like, this is like when fucking X and X was traded for Y. It's like, yeah, none of these have made me laugh. We know this is a really bad trade, but yeah, I think that's just the privileges of, you know, being well known is what helped Britney at the end of the day. But yeah, the person I feel the most bad for would be Paul. Even though I would not have chosen him, the ex-Marine, I still feel the most bad for him because I don't think he made a dumb mistake. Honestly, he actually was trying to commit some form of espionage. I don't know, but their reasoning seemed iffy. Even on that talk show, it's like, really? Taking pictures of a church is considered spying on another country? I don't know. But, yeah.
If you're in the wrong country, it is.
I suppose. Maybe the Catholics wanted him off his back. Their backs. I don't know. But yeah, that's... I mean, glad we have an American home. I just wish it was a different one. God knows what Russia would have wanted if they wanted to make all three of them. Also, another point that people are making is that it's pretty outrageous that this administration went as far to do that when there are thousands of people in this country being locked up for marijuana for years. That's another irony of this. And Biden apparently called the sister of Paul Whelan and was like, we're not going to give up, so take that with what you will.
Yeah, it's...
Go ahead.
I have to say, I would rather be imprisoned in America for possession of marijuana than being imprisoned in Russia for possession of marijuana. I feel like it'd be a little easier here. But no, it's still, you know, it's a double standard. It's a bit ridiculous. Yeah, it's definitely, I think, political reasons why Briner is the one being brought back and not the other two. And like, it's great that she's home and free. That's very good. But also, I do feel bad for the people who have been there longer, and the people who've had to. I don't know what Griner had to deal with, but like, Paul Whelan, isn't he in like a work prison or something? It's like, that's fucking horrible. And you know, something needs to be done to get them back fast. When it comes to releasing this arms dealer guy, did you already say that he's the basis for the movie Lord of War?
Not this time, I did not.
Right. Good movie. If he's the basis for it, seems like a bit of a fucked up dude. I don't think that it's like as catastrophic as some people make it out to be, because there's no way that the U.S. is just letting this guy go and wiping their hands of the situation. It's like, well, he's out now. We you know, have to start from scratch with this guy again. I'm sure that, his network probably still exists. He may have even been running it. No, he probably wasn't running it from over here if they had him locked up decently. But he'll probably have to reestablish himself to an extent. And I bet that they will be keeping very, very close watch on him wherever he goes. I don't think that this is right back to square one necessarily. But yeah, no, it like the people who are still stuck over there, it's get them out. Work harder, please.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. So the guy who wrote a book about Boot at least 10 years ago in a recent interview said that he's probably lost many of his contacts when he was an arms dealer, which makes sense because, you know, he's in prison and all.
Yeah.
And also, there's just... I think to be honest, after learning about him a little bit, I think him being called the Merchant of Death is kind of a bit overhyped. I mean, granted, he's still a bad person, obviously, but like, this is an arms dealer we're talking about. It's everybody's acting like, oh, we let a fucking monster out there. It's like, dude, he's just doing what the U.S. government is doing, but on a smaller scale. And that's another thing, is that he was working when the U.S. was heavy in Afghanistan. He was selling shit to both U.S. and the U.K. forces over there.
Yep.
But then down the line, they just decided they wanted to swipe him, probably because he was growing as a competitor. So, I don't know. It's just... Yeah. It's fucking hilarious to watch, like, that 60 Minutes interview with that dude who was in charge of, like, catching him and being like, yeah, we locked up this super bad dude. He's one of the most dangerous people on the planet. Like, bitch, please. Look, selling weapons ain't great. The thing that I think is more condemnable that nobody really talks about is that he was offering training services to some of the armies he was selling weapons to in the civil wars in Africa. That to me is like worse, in my opinion, considering probably both sides of those wars were doing heinous things to civvies. But
oh yeah,
I don't know,
it's one
man.
Thing to enable it, but it's another thing to actively, you know, be involved in it and participate with it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, arms dealer, not great, but not the worst thing in the world. Especially, you know, it's just rich. Just people in the U.S. are just, I don't know. Yeah, apparently he's also joined a pro-Kremlin ultra-nationalist party. Yeah, shocker.
That's right.
He was an ex-Soviet officer. But whatever, man, whatever works for you. also, people are, it's pretty evident in the video footage of Griner and Boot being swapped, like they're walking out to opposite planes on some tarmac or whatever. Like, I don't know why the American media felt the need to cut out Brittany and Victor shaking hands. It's not like she knew who he was, because if you watch the footage of her being, like, told by some Russian dude that she's going home, you can tell she's been kept out of the loop because she's a bit confused. She's obviously happy, but it's not like she's been told, like, what the fuck this country went through politically to get her back. So, like, I don't know, like, it's not a big deal. Like, even if she knew who Victor Boot was, I don't think it's a big deal to shake hands with someone who's not, like, I don't know, the most morally sound person. You're just shaking hands. That's it. You're not doing business with them or anything.
No. She was probably, you know, incredibly stressed. Probably had no idea what the hell was going. I doubt they were giving her much information when she was imprisoned over there. She probably didn't understand the full gravity of the situation until she was back home. Whatever.
I do partially feel bad for her, because now she might have, like, some sort of guilt on her weight. That's definitely not her fault at all. No. It's just, that's just an inevitable feeling to deal with when you've been blessed in a situation, but you know others in your shoes haven't.
Yeah.
So this will be rough on her mentally, I bet.
Oh, for sure.
Shall we move on to obscure random questions?
I think we can go down to ORQ.
What's something extremely popular, but you just can't give a fuck about it?
Oh, man. A few years ago, I might have said sports, but it's not true. I can give a fuck about sports these days. I've been exposed to quite a bit of football in the UK, and I don't follow it, you know, I'm not a fan of it, but if there's a game on, I'll watch, and I'll actually enjoy it. Something that I can't give a fuck... I mean, you know, there's a lot of musicians and shit out there. A lot of TV shows that get really, really popular really fast. Generally, I don't know why, but I have the response of getting around to it later, and then I never do. And then some things it turns into I actively don't care.
TikTok, that's an
Oh,
obvious
yeah.
one. I'll tell you this though, I will confess, I have been watching Instagram reels lately,
Oh.
which are not like, they're obviously not TikToks, but they are made in a very similar fashion. And the one word I can describe them all is odd. I don't
Yeah.
know, like, I don't even know how to describe this shit with words. Some of it, like one of them I watched, I think, was like this girl dancing in a living room, and the text on the screen was like, when I was born and my parents were expecting me to be normal. And then it like cuts to her making like a frown face saying like, but I've been diagnosed with X, Y, and Z disorders. And it also like changes like soundtrack as well.
Yep.
It's
It's just like what, why, what, who?
There was another one. Okay, this is one I remember better. There was another one. These girls couldn't be any older than 15. They looked like they were in freshman and sophomore year of high school. It's this girl in a bus. But it's like an athletic team bus or whatever, because they're on like jerseys or whatever. And she's filming herself with her friend. There's no music. She's not talking. The text is, her boyfriend just cheated on her. RIP the other team. So it shows them, herself and her friend, with a serious face. Then she turns the camera to this girl, this poor girl in the next seat or so, with a little bit of
Yeah.
distance between them, obviously with this distressed, like, face of someone who's been betrayed, is upset but also mad, doesn't really know exactly what to feel. I'm just like, what, why?
That's fucked up.
What,
Taking
you can't
someone's.
just comfort her?
Yeah. No, you gotta take someone in an incredibly vulnerable moment and post it for the likes. I assume it wasn't monetized, so they're not even making money off of it, just for the fucking the cred. The that's fucked up. That sucks.
There was another one where it's like phases of college, and it's just like this girl making faces with like gestures with her hands, like she's Italian or whatever, but like they made no sense whatsoever. It was confusing to me. I'll retell this story, fuck it. Max and I were attending a theater conference. And there
Oh, yeah.
was this, what was it? A male, like,
They
cross-dress beauty
called
pageant
it
show?
a womenless beauty pageant. It
God,
was just
yeah,
a
that's
drag
what it
show.
was.
It was
Yeah.
just a drag show.
Yeah. So this was in an auditorium. At least, what you would say, at least 300 people watching, probably more, a
Oh,
bit
probably
more.
more. It was a big auditorium with, a lot of schools.
All right, so let's say 500. There's at least 500 other kids there, including Max and I. We were sitting next to each other when this happened. A
Yeah.
guy we knew from our department went up. He did splendid, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Another one was not so lucky from another school.
No, is I mean,
You can explain it.
What happens? I'll let you deal with the end of the whole thing. But his performance, he was just sort of lurching around on stage. He had like a bad wig, and he had like a he might have had a skirt or something on, but it was just like a really basic t-shirt. Like there was no effort put into this. He was just lurching around on stage, kind of like a drunk person. It was not impressive in any way. Like it was a bad showing. It was not a good performance.
What? Go on.
Oh, so yeah, he's sort of like prancing around. I would say that it's choreography.
And then he brought Elon Musk on stage. No, I'm kidding.
Oh God. See, that would have been
worse,
actually could have been funnier or even more cringeworthy. Yeah. But no, so he's prancing around on stage and then he like goes to try to do like a bad split or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly he just collapses to the ground. And for a solid few seconds, I thought that was part of the show. I thought that was the punchline. That's what it was leading up to. Like, he was pretending to be drunk or something, or he was purposefully doing a bad performance and then doing a fall, like a pratfall, being like, oh, look, he fucked up. Oh, that's funny. That's the gimmick. That's the shtick of this whole thing. He did not. That was not the idea. that was not the purpose. He collapsed, and it turns out he dislocated his kneecap, which, as you know, is a terrifyingly painful experience, right?
Yeah, I'm surprised he wasn't screaming his head off, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. He was probably in shock.
Yeah, probably. Imagine doing that with lights on you and 500 people are watching you.
God. Just, you know, that terrifying feeling of, you know, you're hurt, but you don't feel the pain yet. And also, you know, you've just fucked up in front of so many people. That must have been... I hope he's doing okay now. Because that would have fucked me up. So it takes a good few seconds for anyone to realize that this was not part of the act. After a few seconds and people have realized, this is not great. This is not okay. People go to help him. Our boy from our department goes out to help him like the good person that he is, and try to help this guy up. I can't remember if there were any more acts after him, but they managed to get him off. They give at the end of the show, they gave him like a pity award, didn't they?
I don't remember that. I just remember, you know, him being on a stretcher.
Yeah.
Being taken out. I don't know why they did that. By the way, they put us out in the hallway outside the auditorium and made us all wait, like, along the wall. Like it was a show, or like that was the second act or whatever, and pull him out on a stretcher in front of everybody.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why they had everyone exit the auditorium. It's... But we're all standing on the wall, on the walls of this hallway, like it's a storm drill in friggin' primary school or something like that. And suddenly they just, paramedics, and they wheel him out through the hallway in front of literally everyone on this stretcher. He's groaning in pain, and no one really knows what to do. But some people knew what to do, I guess, because they were putting that shit on Instagram.
Yep, so when that was happening, you know, first of all, no homo, Max and I were like holding, like clutching hands, because that was how cringy it was. But it I was turned bad. My head, because we're like near the front row, and there's like at least 7 people filming this with their phones. And I was tempted, I didn't have the emotional maturity and the balls to do this at the time, but I wanted to like turn around and yell, "Stop filming this, you sick fucks." But of course I didn't do that. But I should have. Nah. I regret not doing that. But, you know, people will always film someone being in pain nowadays. The cartel does it. Your 14-year-old white girl does it. That's probably one of the most, like, I don't know. That's got to be a scary thing, to be in a physically vulnerable position like that, knowing it might be captured on camera. I was lucky. The first time I dislocated, it was in my house.
Mm.
The second time, it was in a dojo. And people don't just have their phones regularly available. Granted, it was in front of like a bunch of like 15 elementary school age kids, so I probably traumatized them somewhat as I was yelling, "Fuck." constantly, but whatever. Yeah, was pretty lucky. Pretty damn lucky, if I must say so. But, yeah, that was horrible. Horrible thing to watch.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking, going the other way, what's your favorite thing about your culture?
Favorite thing about the culture? Favorite thing about American culture, that is the culture that I identify with the most. I wouldn't say that I'm culturally British. I think I've been told that there's an attitude that Americans have that British people don't, and I've seen it myself. There is sort of an attitude, an outlook towards the world, a confidence, a sort of sense of belonging, a sort of sense of having the right to be wherever you are, that Americans have, that at least British people do not have. Britain, as a generalization, people are more timid, isn't quite the right word, but more reserved, more, you know, it's about just making sure that everything is going smoothly, keep calm and carry on, all that shit. The way people talk, the way people formulate thoughts is a lot more coming from a place of, like, presenting. If someone is presenting a thought or an idea or making a comment or something like that, that thought is coming out as look. The thought's coming out in a way of sort of, this is what I have to offer to this moment. It's a not naturally confident taking that space in the conversation. That's, of course, a generalization. There's some very confident British people, but it's just sort of that way about it. I can't describe it super well, but that's the thing. But then Americans, it's a lot more naturally, yeah, look at me, this is my thought, this is my time to shine in this conversation, this is my time to contribute, da-da-da-da-da. And now I think that can lead to narcissism or, you know, American exceptionalism, an idea of that, thinking we're better, thinking, you know, else, or there's negatives that come along with it. But also, it's something I like about America and about Americans. It's everyone is, no one is apologizing for their existence in the world. And being someone who, you know, is dealing with both cultures pretty frequently throughout my life, that is something that I really like about America. Yeah. Also food. Anyone who says America doesn't have food culture is absolutely lying. America's got fantastic food culture. Also yeah. Horrible, but god damn is it great. We have the God-given right to deep fry butter.
I like the universal right to water and guns.
Yeah.
That's about it. That's what I like.
It's pretty sweet.
I would say non-judgmental. People aren't as uptight. You kind of have a bit more social freedom here.
Yeah, there's not like a lingering class rigidity or anything, you know. Unless someone's a fucking asshole, you can have a conversation with someone who's not very financially well off, someone who's very rich. Someone, put a group of people together in America, and they will talk to each other. They may not like each other, but they will talk to each other.
Yeah. By the way, last episode, I was about to say last week, we asked, one of the questions was, what would be the last meal you eat before you die? Asked my friend from Scotland that, and he gave me this weird answer. Uh-huh. So I'm going to call him and fucking ask him what was the answer again. Then I'm going to ask you if you recognize it.
Okay.
You ready? I mean, you won't hear it. I'll have to relay it.
Hey, G-Dog, my man.
remember when I asked you about what would you eat as your last meal on death row?
Yes.
What was the answer again?
I said steak with a crust.
God damn it, not that. It was something with the
Oh.
pizza.
Yeah, I just said, oh, doner meat.
Doner meat? You have doner meat pizza and
Oh.
crusted steak. That's your answer?
Oh, Jesus. Well, the problem is I wouldn't have both of them, but I could you get quite a lot of money for your last meal,
You would
so
not
I
have
probably could
both of
have.
them.
Oh,
So
God,
which one?
stop. Right, okay.
You're on
I
the
guess if it
record
was
here. You need to
okay,
give me a straight
sorry.
answer.
I didn't realize that was as intense as this. Okay, I would have you missed it. I'm looking at some pictures right now, trying to get
You're
my juices
looking at
flowing.
pictures of what? This isn't that hard of a question, Connor.
Look, I'm panicking. Everybody's panicking.
You're the only one panicking here. No one
I've
else
already put.
is.
All right, okay. Whew,
Doner
God,
pizza
all right.
or crusted steak? Which one?
All right, okay. Whew, all right, everyone just needs to calm down. I would have dry aged sirloin steak.
Dry aged sirloin steak. That's your final answer.
That's my final answer.
Okay, goodbye. I'll talk to you in like 5 or 10 minutes.
What?
All right. Well, you heard it here. So, have you ever heard of doner meat?
Doner, it's a type of kebab. Yeah, like you can get a good doner kebab, a lot of doner kebab shops in London. Yeah, it's just a way of cooking kebab. Cooking meat, you can do it like beef, chicken, pork, whatever, lamb. It is delicious. It is very good. It really hits the spot after a night out or something.
So we made a good choice.
Yeah. I've never had it on pizza, but I could see how that would work. It's quite sort of salty. So that could work really well with a good pizza.
All right. Well, you heard it there, folks. Everybody except Max, but you can listen back to this. Anyway, we have to wrap it up. Is there anything else we have?
That's about all I got.
How about this? We'll share our answers next week. That's what we'll
Sure.
do. All right, peace, motherfuckers.